Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. I'm Brian, and Ruthie, she should be here at some point, but she's a little late in joining us. And it's worth saying that 52 years ago today, on the day we were recording this, September 8th, 1966, The Man Trap aired for the first time. The first episode of Star Trek to air on NBC, and apparently in Canada, I didn't realize this, it aired 2 days earlier. Do you know that, Mark Decote?
I did not. That was before my time.
Yeah, I read that today. I didn't even know it. But anyway, it's been a long time coming, like 5 months since we last did one of these. But I'm really glad to have this going. Let's see. So we've got some new people and some returning panelists. But I'll just say one of the reasons why we haven't done this is I've had a big change in my life. I'm now in Tampa, Florida in a new job. So that took a while to get settled in, but I'm now settled in. So hopefully we'll be recording a little more often now. So all right. So first panelist we have today is a longtime listener of the podcast and has always made every episode better with his feedback, Mark Decote.
Oh, thank you for having me back, Brian. I was really sorry to miss the second round table. I was there on the first one, but I wasn't able to make the second one, but I'm glad to be back here. If anybody listening, I am the host of the Killjoys podcast on right now. The Warrant is All, the Killjoys podcast from Solo Talk Media. So if you're a Killjoys fan, check out my podcast.
Great. And also returning panelist, we have Steve Brown.
Hey, everybody.
And Steve was kind of Mark's substitute last time. So, and you do another podcast as well.
That's right. I do a Panels to Pixels podcast with Mark Kirkman. We're on the Next Level Radio Podcast Network, and that comes out. We've got several that are in the can right now that are fixing to drop. We have the entire first season of Punisher review from Netflix is done. And Mark, I'm so excited to hear about a Killjoys podcast. I have to check you out now because, you know, take no sides, take no bribes. The Warrant is All.
All right. Great. And Steve's co-host, Mark Kirkman, is my co-host on the Walking Dead talkthrough. So that's funny how things go. All right. So we've got two new panelists. So first, in full Star Trek red shirt uniform, is Mark Diehl.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about Star Trek. I love Star Trek, maybe as much as your listeners, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
And I know you do a number of podcasts.
I do. I'm basically the Daryl Darnell of legal podcasts. So I could rattle off a bunch of legal podcasts, honestly, that no one is going to listen to. But I am known in podcasting circles. I run a bunch of groups on Facebook centered around podcasting from various aspects of being a professional podcast editor or building and renting your own studio. I run a group here in Atlanta called Podcast Atlanta, about 850 podcasters. We get together monthly, lots of other things. I don't want to take up too much time because I'm ready to talk about Trek.
Great. And last but not least, we have from the Minnesota Star Trek Nerd Podcast, West Huntington. I said West Huntington. I'm sorry about that. West Huntington.
I get it all the time, Brian. So thank you very much for having me. Yeah. So yeah, I'm here from the great state of Minnesota. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And you were an admin to a very big group that we have out there for Star Trek Discovery. You want to tell people about that?
Yes. It's called Positive Fans of Star Trek Discovery. I'm on a team of 8 admins and 2 moderators. the group is Discovery focused, but we've talked about the other series since Discovery has made references to the other series, especially Enterprise and the original series. So we talk about other things about it's a company, it's all Star Trek. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Mark Deal, I like your backdrop there.
Thank you. I had to represent. I didn't want to interrupt, so I was like a little visual thing. And I know the listener is not seeing this, so I just I'm wearing a red shirt from TOS, and I keep cycling different bridges on how I feel like. But since it's a Discovery podcast, I had to put the Bridge of Discovery behind me.
And because Mark is wearing a red shirt, don't be surprised if all of a sudden we lose him halfway through the show.
Yeah, my connection's going. Brian, I found something.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Ruthie has joined us.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm still tired.
All right. So we are going to try to cover, in broad strokes at least, everything that's happened in the Star Trek Discovery news since our last podcast, which has been a lot. We'll cover the season 2 trailer and a bunch more. We will also cover the big announcement, even though it's not Star Trek Discovery, we can't help but talk about it. The big announcement at Star Trek Las Vegas from Patrick Stewart himself, Jean-Luc Picard is back. All right, so I've called the first round of this News and Turmoil. So it starts out with co-showrunners Aaron Harberts and Gretchen J. Berg were summarily dismissed. They were fired amidst budget issues and supposedly reported abuse within the writer's room. Alex Kurtzman, who's been there from the beginning, and of course he was involved in the JJ universe, but he's a co-creator. He's been made the new showrunner, and less fanfare, but James Duff has been hired as an executive producer, and he's best known for The Closer and Major Crimes, but he's also written a Star Trek Enterprise episode. He wrote season 1, episode 10, which is titled Fortunate Son. All right, so we'll start with that. So I'm going to start on my left here. I have Mark Deal. What do you think about the two showrunners, Harberts and Berg, getting fired?
Honestly, no opinion. Just judging from what I've heard on the internet, it seems more of like a political backlash because Discovery didn't do what they thought it would do, especially with other people, not CBS, basically footing the bill for season one. And now that that bill, as small as it was coming due, I think they're just making some big changes in Discovery and the rest of Star Trek. So, and of course, you know, abusing your writers, that isn't going to help you at all either. So
yeah,
that's about all that I could really add to that.
Yeah. Steve Brown, I'll have you next. What do you think about them firing the showrunners and putting Kurtzman in charge? Of course, now we have more, which we'll get into with Kurtzman after that. But
yeah, I heard a little bit about this and didn't really pay a lot of attention to it because for me, we'll see how it changes the direction of the show or whether they change the direction of the show. I know it was originally going to be an anthology series where each season was going to be a different story or a different group or something like that, to now it's more of we're going to follow this crew through different adventures. So I'm excited for season 2. You're probably going to get to James Duff here in a second, but I love The Closer and Major Crimes.
You love The Closer and Major Crime, so you're good with his play.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that I would say is that, you know, you've got a guy who's got major experience as a showrunner coming in. Like, suppose, you know, he's not official showrunner right now, but you have to think that eventually he's going to be made showrunner. You know, once Kurtzman sort of moves on to the next show or shows, yeah, it seems like putting him in charge eventually is going to be a good choice.
The reason I really liked the closer in Major Crimes and why I think he's going to do great for this Star Trek Discovery is those both had great big casts. I mean, there was 8 to 10 people, 6 or 8 major characters in both those shows that we had to follow, and you had to have different things going on, but you didn't deal with their personal lives. Some of them we got their personal lives, but more it was about the ensemble working together. And so I think it's exciting to see someone with that background come into Star Trek Discovery.
That's good points. All right, Wes, what do you think about all this news?
Well, first of all, I think it's nothing new.
True.
Because all of the other spinoffs have had turnovers. Like The Next Generation, for example, it went through a whole bunch of writers and producers in its first 2 seasons.
Boy, you're not kidding with that.
Yeah, if you have seen the Chaos on the Bridge documentary by William Shatner, yeah, it's very well documented. A lot of firings in the first 2 years of The Next Generation in its first 2 years. So this is nothing new. And, you know, I'm a little disappointed that they were fired, but they are credited for their first 5 episodes for season 2.
Yeah.
But it
seems like a lot of the direction of the season, you know, came from them, I assume. So, all right. Mark Decote, you're next. What do you think?
Well, similar to what the other Mark Deal said, I don't really follow too much what showrunners do. Now, I do know, and I've heard a few things about them. Aaron and Gretchen, they did go over budget, which they said was one of the reasons. And from what I understood, they, as Wes said, they were credited for the first 5 episodes. But the first 3 episodes of season 2 supposedly go way over budget. So that's one of the reasons. So I'm really curious now. I'll be looking for that in those first 3 episodes to see, like, there better be some really good special effects or some really good stuff for them to say that's the reason why they fired him, is because they went over budget with those 3 episodes. Those better be 3 really good episodes. As for Alex Kurtzman, I'm actually excited, not so much for him being showrunner of this season, but for what you alluded to, Brian, is he's coming in as, I forget what the term is. It's not showrunner, but it's, say, we'll call him overlord of the new Star Trek universe that's coming about, because he's already in the works with the as you mentioned, Patrick Stewart. There's an animated Star Trek that's in the works that he's overseeing. He's basically going to be the one monitoring everything, and he's already signed on for a 5-year contract. So with a possibility for extension. So we know he's going to be around for at least 5 years managing all the different Star Trek on TV, and there's supposed to be numerous ones coming about. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with all that. And we'll talk about that next. I think we'll kind of, after we've got some casting stuff, but we'll get into Kurtzman and all that after. Ruthie, what do you think about the Gretchen, Jay Berg and Aaron Harbert's getting removed and Kurtzman being showrunner?
I don't know. We'll see, I guess. I haven't really been able to formulate an opinion, I suppose.
Yeah.
I just want to see the final product.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, and Mark, I would agree with you, Mark Decote, about like those first three episodes better kick butt. If they're that much over budget, you know, they better be almost movie quality, because that'll also probably mean that the 12 episodes after that, or sorry, it's not 12, it's 13 this season. So the 10 episodes following that'll probably be like bottle episodes, you know. All right, so we've got some casting news and a couple of the biggest ones, but I'll start with the first one that was announced and seems like it's going to be the most prominent one. Anson Mount has been made. It seems like he's a full cast member, not just like a guest appearance. He's going to be in the credits as Captain Christopher Pike. So, Steve, we'll rotate this around. So Steve Brown, what do you think about Anson Mount and the whole idea of getting Captain Pike?
I kind of love the idea of getting Captain Pike because other than seeing him in the wheelchair, was it after Mantrap? Not Mantrap, after in the TOS, mm-hmm. did we, and maybe somebody else can answer this for me, has that character been used throughout the other Star Trek shows, or have we really never? Because I know like Enterprise was not Captain Pike.
No,
that was Archer, or yeah, it was somebody else.
Right.
And so they've alluded to him as a character, but has he been played by anybody since the original series? So I'm excited to see what they do with him. I know we're going to get into the trailer later, but seeing that old uniform, but kind of modernized was really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what they're going to do with him as Captain Pike and coming in to Discovery.
Yeah. Wes, what do you think about Anson Mount? Do you know him from anything?
No, actually, but I'm aware of what his work was.
Yeah.
Like Hell on Wheels. And,
right.
Inhumans, the Marvel, yeah. The Marvel series?
Yeah, that I never watched, but I did watch maybe half of the episodes of Hell on Wheels, and I thought he was really good in that. And of course, that has Colm Meaney in, so it's got a little bit of a Star Trek pedigree.
Yep.
Yeah, so he always seemed to be like a good lead on that show. So I guess he's kind of like in the position of Lorca, so kind of like the second, well, the captain, but the second on the list, I guess.
Yeah, and I was going to say this too. He's actually taught to Jeffrey Hunter's son, Chris Hunter.
Right.
And he, Chris Hunter actually went up to him and said, "My dad would have been very proud of you. He actually looks exactly like him." And I'm going, like, they actually went with the look too. So I'm actually beyond thrilled that they actually are trying to honor what came before for Christopher Pike in the original series. So I like Anson Mount, and I liked what's his name? Bruce Greenwood did in the Kelvin universe.
Yeah, he was also good as Pike, kind of a different Pike. It's sort of an older Pike than what it seems like Anson Mount's playing. But yeah, he was good as Pike. Mark Decote, what do you think about the casting?
Well, the only thing I know Anson Pike or not Pike Anson Mount from is Inhumans, and as far as an actor goes, I mean Inhumans, he was playing Black Bolt. He never said a word because when Black Bolt talks, there's whatever. Anyways, not going to get into that whole thing. But so he in the entire season, he never said a single word, but he was still able to act and portray what he wanted to get across. So I thought he did a really good job there, but that's the only thing I know about him. Now, I do know that he is a very commanding presence. He's an attractive man, so he fills that captain, like say, go back to the Captain Kirk era, where you have the attractive guy. So I don't know if they're going to do any of that with, I don't imagine them doing the womanizer thing in Discovery like they did in the original series. But he does have that attractiveness to him that will make people want to follow him. So I think he'll make a good leader for the group for whatever, according to the trailer that we saw. He's going to be captaining the Discovery. So I think it'll be good for them.
All right, Ruthie, what do you think?
I don't know him from anything, so we'll find out. I guess he's moderately attractive. I don't know. Mark seems to think he's super attractive. Just kidding, Mark.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Mark Deal, what do you think?
Well, not to confuse Marks, but I also think he's attractive. Sure, he's an attractive guy. But, you know, I want to point out something. He's an actor and he's been in things. But up until Star Trek Las Vegas, you know, when the trailer was out and everyone knew he was casted as Pike and there's all these trailers, if you checked his Twitter account, He listed himself as a podcaster first and an actor on the CBS Star Trek show, whatever, whatever, second. So I'm excited that a podcaster is playing Captain Pike. I love Captain Pike, you know, the original series. He ended up being a bit of a dark captain if you watch some of the earlier TOS stuff. But I'm excited to see it. And I will say that, sure, he's an attractive guy, but as a podcaster, his captain's logs should be on point. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, totally agree.
Well, my thoughts, I kind of already said, but I think he's a really good choice. So, all right. Well, speaking of really good choices, hopefully you guys think that Rebecca Romijn as number one, you know, who originally played by Majel Barrett. So some very royal shoes that she needs to fill. Wes, we'll go to you. What do you think of Rebecca Romijn being cast in that role?
Well, first of all, I thought it was very, very surprising. They actually announced it by Anson Mount himself at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, that they did.
Yeah, and I was really surprised that they picked her among all, like, they could have picked someone else, you know, who could have, like, you know, played that role. Anybody else could play that role. And, you know, I wonder if they're going to name her the character, because all we know her as number one. Does she have a name? So my theory about that would be they should name her Majel Una, because Una was a name that they used for the novels.
Mm-hmm.
For number one, and then Majel, obviously, to honor Majel Barrett Roddenberry, who played the original role in The Cage. So I think it's a fantastic choice. I was, like I said, I was very surprised by it, but I'm like, I think she could be phenomenal. And I know she has natural blonde hair, and, you know, would she have like a brunette wig, like Majel Barrett, you know, has her hair color? Maybe. I don't care if she's blonde.
I tend to think that she will be a brunette. I have seen her as a brunette in other things. So
yes, I have.
Yeah. Too, so. Mark Decote, what do you think about the casting choice for Rebecca Romijn playing number one? And I'll also say, like, yeah, I agree with you, Wes, by the way. I hope that they do give her a name. And I have to think that since there is a kind of a precedent calling her Una, and since she's number one, Una one, you know, kind of fits. So hopefully that will explain her. But anyway, Mark, what do you think?
Well, to be honest, when I first heard the announcement, I didn't think she would be good, because the only thing I know her from is playing Eve in The Librarians.
Okay.
And in that, she's kind of even though she's supposed to be the tough bodyguard, the protector, she was still like a goofy character. And again, that's the only way I know her. So whenever they said she was number one, number one's not supposed to be a goofy character, and that's all I see her as. Now I know she was acting the role. That's not actually the way she is, and she's not going to play that way. But in my mind, I had a hard time getting around her in the Star Trek universe because of her role in The Librarians that I know her so well in. So that was one where I kind of went, I don't know. I'll have to wait and see.
Come on, Mark. She was Mystique.
I was just going to say that.
She was, but that was many years ago.
Well. Magneto's number one.
That's right.
What do you think, Ruthie?
I'm fine with it. I think she's great. I've seen her in a few different things, and I'm excited. I like her.
Yeah, I think she'll be good too. Mark Diehl, what do you think?
Honestly, I can't trump what Wes said. I hope they do call her Una, and to call her like Majel Una. Wes, when you said that, you gave me goosebumps, and so I don't want to add anything to that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably already petitioned that way.
I'm sure. I'm excited about the character because she's had a couple of appearances, obviously, in the original series.
Yeah.
The books, as Wes pointed out, really go to depth, but of course they're not canon.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to work with. And I hope the fact that they're paying for Mystique, you know, yeah. Ruthie, I agree with you. She's Mystique, right? It shows that they're putting some money into this character for the actress. So I think some good development will come out of it.
Jennifer Lawrence is in Star Trek. What? All right. Last, Steve, what do you think about the choice?
I'm really excited for it. I did not know about this. I had not seen the news about it or anything. So until I saw this in your show notes, I got really excited. I love Rebecca Romijn. I loved her in The Librarians, loved her as Mystique, and everything she's done has been great. So I'm excited to see what she's going to do. And I'm glad they were able to get this kind of a big, in my humble opinion, a big name actress for, yeah, you know, for this role. So we'll see.
And our last bit of casting news, and this is a pretty big one, because there had been some speculation about whether or not we would see Spock, especially with the Enterprise, you know, being there. But, you know, whether it was going to be Zachary Quinto or they would, you know, CGI it and put in Leonard Nimoy somehow, or if they would cast somebody new. And it seems like they went with the third choice, casting Ethan Peck as Spock. And he is the grandson of the famous actor from To Kill a Mockingbird, I believe, Academy Award winning Gregory Peck. It's too bad that he isn't alive to see his grandson take this iconic role. Mark Decote, we'll start with you. What do you think about, let me make this like a two-part question. What do you think about the fact that we're going to see Spock in this series? And secondly, what do you think about the casting choice?
Well, I kind of figured we would see Spock whenever the last episode of season one, when the Enterprise showed up. I know that Spock's on the Enterprise, so chances are we're going to see Spock, especially when there was a discussion about Spock or mention of him in the season one, since Michael's his stepsister or whatever. So I was expecting it. Now, I'm also predicting that we don't actually see Spock until the final episode of season two. I don't think he's going to be a big part of it, because I think that would take it away. Bringing Spock into Discovery would kind of overshadow things. So I predict that we're only going to get a little glimpse of him probably in the last episode. Now, as for Ethan Peck, I don't know him. I'm on his IMDb page right now, and there's isn't a single thing here that I've ever seen. So I don't know him at all. But looking at the photos, I know when it was first announced, there was a lot of people that said, I can't picture him, but I'm just looking at his photo and stick some pointy ears on him, do a couple of things with his eyebrows. And I think, you know, put some bangs, change his hair so he has bangs. I think he'd make a really good Spock just looking at him.
I agree.
I saw an old picture of him where he had bangs. And yeah, he did look the part to me. Ruthie, what do you think?
I agree. Don't know him from anything, but I just looking at his IMDb pick, and I'm like, I think he looks like he could make a fine Spock.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Mark Deal, what do you think?
I'll echo the same thing. Sure, stick some pointing ears on him. Luckily, we're not changing the look of the Vulcans in season two, right? Let's hope that's not the case.
No doubt.
Exactly.
Unlike somebody.
But I love the fact that, honestly, so far, three of us don't know him from his previous work. So that opens up the door to, you know, us discovering Spock through this new actor, vice the filter that we see them. For example, we talked about number one. I'm always going to be thinking of Mystique for the first couple episodes. But when Spock shows up, I won't. I will say Mark Ghost was saying that he'd probably show up at the end of season two. You know, I bet it'll probably be like a mid-season trailer, mid-season little golden egg there, right as they take that 2 month break on streaming service that I'm sure that they'll probably do. I think that's when we'll see Spock, just to say, hey, don't unsubscribe, keep making those monthly payments, because we'll see more Spock in a couple of months. I don't think they'll drag it out too long.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I've seen the stuff that he's been in, he just doesn't stand out.
Yeah,
like I've looking at his IMDb page, I'm like, I've seen that movie. I don't remember him. I've seen that movie. I don't remember him. I've seen that movie. Don't remember him. So,
yeah, I think his biggest role seems to be 10 Things I Hate About You, which
I
don't know, but apparently he was
don't remember anything.
A main role.
I remember
in 20 episodes, but he was also in The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Don't remember him.
Movie. He was in the Drew Carey Show, so he was obviously pretty young then.
He was on Madam Secretary. Don't remember him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was apparently also on In Time, but I don't remember him from that movie.
Yeah.
Looking at the pictures, it looks like he was always standing behind Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. So, Steve, what do you think of this casting choice?
Like everybody else, I really don't know who he is. That's super cool that he's the grandson of Gregory Peck and he's acting. So that's really cool to hear. I'm kind of torn about this, whether this character, because it is an iconic character that we've seen played by several different people. Are we going to be able to separate him and give him kind of his own take on the character? Is he going to try to play the Leonard Nimoy Spock? Is he going to try to play, you know, the Zachary Quinto Spock or something else, you know, or is he going to take his own kind of direction on the character? That's what I'm interested to see, is how this character is going to interact in our universe. And I kind of hope we get him earlier rather than later. I hope they don't drag it out the entire season, especially after hearing some of the things in the trailer, but they may drag it out the entire season. I don't know.
Yeah. And lastly, and Wes, were you the one that showed that Ethan Peck picture? I may have seen it from you. I don't know, but with the bangs, I don't know why I'm thinking it's you, but
it wasn't, but I like everyone else here. I don't know him from anything. But the one thing that I really do like about the use of Spock in the season is that he is related to the story. And that was one thing I actually said on my podcast.
Yeah.
I really wanted him to serve the story of the season and not be fan service.
Yeah.
Because if it was just there just for saying, "Greetings, Michael, live long and prosper," that's just fan service. And that's just wrong. It just has a major insult to the character. But actually, the Nimoy family, Julie and Adam and Terry Farrell, Adam's wife, they actually knew about the casting before the rest of us did. So they knew about it before. They had to keep their mouth shut. And when the announcement came out, Julie Nimoy tweeted out that the Nimoy family is behind this casting of Ethan Peck as Mr. Spock. So I'm actually thrilled. Family approval is always important to me, regardless of what it is. So I would say that as long as the Nimoy family is behind this casting, then I think Peck's going to be great. And I'm glad that he's related to Gregory Peck. To Kill a Mockingbird is actually one of my favorite movies. So that's what I got to say about that.
Yeah, and it's probably worth saying that what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. I'll think of it in 2 minutes like I always do. All right. Well, Ruthie, I'm going to ask you about this one, cuz I think you're going to have an opinion. So at Star Trek Las Vegas, Glenn Hetrick, who's like the lead makeup guy, said that we are getting a new Klingon design again this season that is going to blow people's socks away. So what do you think about this? So much.
Such a loaded question.
I know.
I don't. Only if they go back to the way that they looked before they screwed everything up.
You know, I have a theory.
Before or before?
I have a theory about this. My theory is you know, we're going to talk about the Picard series. I have to think that Klingons are going to be in that, and they would be absolutely nuts to change the look of the Klingons for Klingons that we already know and love. Like, if Worf shows up in the Picard show and he looks like the Klingons from Discovery, so help me.
I will
have an aneurysm. You know, so I have to think that they have been set out to make them look more like the Klingons that we're used to. So that's my take. And I think you agree with me. Mark, Deal, what do you think about it? First of all, let me ask you, since we haven't had you on before, what did you think about the look of the Klingons and how they changed from what, you know, we had been used to?
It was confusing. It was unnecessary. It didn't add to the show. I don't understand why they did it. I know that they had to change some things just to show technology. TV technology has changed in the last 50 years, but why did they have to do a complete redesign of the Klingons?
I don't know.
That's my take. It was ego.
Yeah, that's all I could, you know, I could say, look, they didn't redesign the Vulcans, right? The Vulcans are from a sand planet. Why didn't they make them look like the Gorn? Because I don't see fleshy people, you know, walking out of a desert. That's what Vulcans should look like. But we know what Vulcans look like, and that's what we get. The Klingons, I don't know. And they redesigned the ships, too. I'm a tech guy.
Yeah.
So when they, yeah, like, oh, there's a D7 class battlecruiser, we know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But no, they completely changed that. No, I'm not a fan of it. So to answer what I imagine your next question is, what do I think about a possible redesign? Cautiously optimistic, but realistically, it'll probably be a mess. They will have to fix something before the Picard and all the other Star Trek shows that will come out in the next 5 years.
Yeah, they got some splaining to do, I think, which they did last season. And Ruthie and I and Adam, when he was the co-host, we all said many times that we did not like the Klingon design. And yeah, so Steve Brown, what do you think about this news about them changing the looks of the Klingons again?
Well, I didn't like the change they did previously, and I talked about that on the second roundtable. I mentioned, and I never did find it again, that there was this huge long article that I found. Somebody had talked about all the times that in TOS and in Next Generation and all these times when the ships went back in time, and they were finding ways to try to explain how the entire universe changed because of these small changes they made in the timeline, how it would have affected the wider range of the universe. And
yeah,
I just shake my head at that's way overthinking it. And there was no reason to change them, especially the way they did, making them so different than what we see.
Yeah.
In the Worf and in like the girl from Voyager, who was half Klingon.
B'Elanna?
B'Elanna. Yeah. So for them to change it again, unless I'm kind of with you guys, unless they kind of change it to where they're going to bring them more into what we remember from either the original series,
yeah,
or at the very least, like the Worf type looking Klingons. Because I can kind of see that, but if they don't make them closer to what we, if they go out in left field again with a complete change, I think it's going to take too much of the audience that knows the original series. It's going to take them out of the fandom. So
yeah, and Steve, you just reminded me of what I was going to say earlier. So in the Deep Space Nine episode Trials and Tribulations, they went back in time and Worf is, you know, sitting, was it on the starbase, I think? And we see Klingons and he says something stupid like, you know, we never speak of it. And that's kind of, I have to think that they're going to just bring them closer in to make a Worf possible. Because, like I said, Michael Dorn is going to be at MegaCon Tampa Bay in 2 weeks, and I'm hoping to be able to interview him.
Worf is my favorite.
I will. I definitely will. But yeah, I'm going to see if I can dig and if I get to interview him to say, are we going to see you back on the screen in this Picard series? Or for that matter, I know he's been pitching to try to do a Worf series. Mm. We'll be seeing that. Yeah, it would be. But what you reminded me of is, Steve, we know how you feel about Tasha Yar. And the one death that was almost as, you know, meant as much to me was when Jadzia Dax died. And Terry Farrell, you know, who is now like Adam Nimoy's wife, that's, you reminded me of that. But yeah, by the way, Terry Farrell, it looks like time is not passing for her at all. She still looks like she did 20 years ago. It's amazing. All right. Wes, what do you think about the Klingons?
Well, I have two complaints about the look of the Klingons. There's two complaints.
All right.
First of all, I didn't mind the way they look like. That was actually directed from the original creator, Brian Fuller. So
it was, yeah.
He wanted to redesign some of the classic aliens, and that included the Klingons. So, but my two common complaints. One, the way they talk like they got peanut butter stuck on the roof of their mouths.
Yeah, it was something I definitely noticed, and I talked about that early on in the podcast, that it was like they had marbles in their mouths.
Yeah, I think it's more peanut butter, Brian. But the second one is they don't have hair. That was my those are my two complaints about the Klingons in the first season of Discovery.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't just that they didn't have hair, like especially with the females, like if you see a side view of Laurel, it's mm-hmm. like she's a conehead.
Yeah.
A 60 degree angle. It goes like out like this, you know?
Yeah.
She's allergic to the peanut butter, Brian. That's what it is. That's how they swell. They lose their hair and their skulls swell up. That's what it is.
But Brian, I totally agree with you. Especially after she got shot by Lorca with that scar on her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. At like a 60 degree angle of a cone head. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So,
I was willing to tolerate it, you know, after a while, but still, I thought that it was a bad choice. You know, with them changing all these other things, it made no sense to me at all. Still doesn't, that they changed the Klingons. All they had to do is bring the Klingons to look like they did in the, you know, the 80s to the noughts, because they even look that way in Enterprise for most of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be one thing that I think people wouldn't have, you know, noticed. But like when the first trailer came out, everybody looked at them saying, well, who the hell are they? I know I did. I said that, like, these are not the Klingons that I know. We didn't hear from Mark Decote yet. So what do you think about the fact that they are changing the Klingons?
Well, as you know from my past appearances on the podcast, the look of the Klingons, you know, one way or the other, didn't really bother me so much as I didn't care for the Klingon storyline.
Yeah.
The storyline I didn't like.
Yeah.
But the looks of them didn't bother me. Now, I do want to say something. In preparation for this roundtable, I watched a few YouTube videos, and I found a video that outlined the progression of the Klingons through Star Trek history.
Okay.
And people keep saying, I want the Klingons to look like they did before. But a lot of people don't realize that every single series had a different look to their Klingons. Every movie had a different look to their Klingons. And I found this YouTube video that went through and said, here's how they look here. Here's how they looked here. Their forehead ridges changed and all sorts of stuff about them changed. So this is just another change. Now, it's a big change because of the hair. Now, if you've ever seen any of the photos that people did where they photoshopped hair onto the Star Trek Discovery Klingons, they look like a regular Klingon.
Yeah.
So that's all they really need is to put the hair on. Now, I do follow Glenn Hetrick. I follow him on Twitter and that in social media. He's, if anybody's not familiar, he's one of the judges on a Face Off sci-fi show.
Yeah.
So I follow him, and he said that they will be explaining some stuff. The Klingons are going to be different. They're going to look a little bit more traditional, meaning probably they're going to have hair, but they will have an explanation to why the Klingons look this way, and that we're only seeing a small faction. There's so many different Klingon houses that, you know, one of the explanations could be that most of these Klingons are from one house or a house that we're not too familiar with. And that's just the way they look.
And I think the way he explained it was that these 24 houses are on 24 planets. And, you know, supposedly they have evolved to look different. So, you know, we'll see. All right. So we're kind of getting into, of course, you know, season two here. So let's talk about the trailer. Is there anyone that hasn't seen the trailer? Ruthie.
That doesn't surprise me. I don't like to watch trailers.
I know. So I guess we'll exclude you from the discussion for this. So, all right. Mark Deal, what'd you think of the new trailer?
I liked it. I mean, look at me. I'm wearing an original series red shirt. So when you bring back the primary colors, of course, I'm going to be happy. I think a lot of it is honestly bailing out season one of Discovery. You've got the Enterprise showing up. The Discovery is going to help out the Enterprise. I think the Enterprise and the crew and their primary color uniforms are going to help them out. At least some of the viewers that have complained about, oh, this isn't the Star Trek I remember. I liked it. There wasn't a lot of substance there, not too much to give away of what we're going to see in season two. Yes, we're going to see Spock because they mentioned Spock. They show Spock's quarters. They say Spock is connected to these things. So it gives a little bit of a foreshadowing of what's coming, but not too much.
Yeah, I agree. Steve Brown, what did you think of the trailer?
I liked it. I watched it a couple times in preparation for this. And the one big question I had that I think probably everybody has is this trailer, is it covering the entire season? Is it covering just the first half? Is it covering just the three episodes maybe that we're going to see? That's what I'm interested to find out because part of it looks like obviously Pike is going to be taking over as captain of the Discovery. How long is he going to be the captain? Is he simply taking over Discovery because it's the only ship that's going to be able to travel to where these lights are quick enough? And that's why the Enterprise isn't going, even though the Enterprise, you would think it would be the obvious vessel to go as it's an exploration vehicle, you know, is the Enterprise going to trail along with them? Yeah. You know, is the Enterprise going to show up later? All the questions about Spock. And I wonder if they're going to try to give us an answer as to why. And I think we mentioned this a little bit in the other round table, but why Spock in all the other shows or movies never mentioned a foster sister ever. Like there was, you would think that would be a topic of conversation at some point. And are they going to justify how he just failed to talk about her always before or what? But I liked it. I really got excited when I saw Tig Notaro. I love Tig Notaro. And so seeing that she's going to have kind of a recurring role is exciting as well. And you know, some of it looks like they're going to have some of those lighter moments. Like we saw, there's a part in the trailer where Tilly says something about math to the rescue or something like that. And gives a high five to some other people. And then the scene where Pike is free falling and Burnham says, oh, we got you. And the girls are on the bridge going, okay, I guess we got him, you know? Yeah. So I think there's going to be some of those lighter moments, but there's also, I don't want it to be as dark as it was originally. So hopefully, but I liked it. I'm really excited to see it. I like to see those primary color uniforms. And I talked about that in the round table, the other round table as well. That fact that the reason we have different uniforms is because even I did when I was in the military, we had different uniforms for different things that we would do. You know, so I love seeing that primary color. And I wonder if we're going to see Pike in the Discovery uniforms at some point, or if he's going to keep that yellow shirt the entire time.
And this will be a spoiler to Ruthie. We do see Pike in the Discovery uniform.
Oh, okay.
Like at the end of the trailer, you'll see he says something to Burnham, and he is wearing the Discovery type uniform. So,
okay,
yeah, Wes, what do you think about the trailer and any thoughts about season two in general?
Well, I'm going to say this. I remember watching the trailer and I was blown away. And that's one thing I liked. And that line about the math line was the power of math, people. That's the power of math. And I have a podcaster friend from the Trek FM network, and she's a math teacher out in Las Vegas. And
Amy Nelson. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And when I saw that, my eyes popped out because I thought Amy's going to be loving that. Amy's going to love that scene to death because I don't know what the heck Tilly's specialty is, but I think she has something to do with theoretical physics or something like that. And, you know, but I think what they're trying to do for season two, especially what I saw from the trailer, is that they're trying to figure out what went right and what went wrong with the season, with season one. Because it was like love or hate relationship with season one with the fans. Either people loved it or they absolutely hated it.
Yeah, and some of that I don't think they can fix with story, because there are some people that, you know, still have a grudge about paying $5.99 a month. You know, can't give up two, you know, or even one fancy coffee a month, you know, to go watch a Star Trek series.
Some of us don't drink fancy coffee.
Honestly, I paid for movie tickets to see Star Trek Nemesis, so I've already established that I'm willing to throw money at anything with a Star Trek label on it. So sure, yeah. CBS All Access. And honestly, I guess it's working, right? Because now we're going to get Picard series. If Star Trek Discovery fails, we're going to have Picard. If that fails, we're going to have something else. It looks like CBS is throwing everything at Star Trek because it's the one thing that they have that differentiates them from Netflix, from Hulu, from HBO, from Disney, from the Marvel, from the DC. Everyone's coming out their own streaming thing.
And, you know, that they have the Twilight Zone, but, I mean, how many Twilight Zone shows can you have? You know, like, you can pretty much have one. Otherwise, I think it's difficult to have multiple Twilight Zones. Other than that, you know, what are they going to do? Reboot CSI or NCIS, you know, and make it the NCIS network. They already are just not for pay. So
what is this monthly fee you speak of, Brian?
Yes. Mark Decote in Canada does not have to pay a monthly fee. Now how does, are you, because I know there's two ways you can get it in Canada. There's through Space, and then there's also, what is it, Crave TV?
Crave TV.
How do you get it?
Through Space.
Through Space. So
Spaces are sci-fi.
And do they offer you the chance to go back and watch the episodes of Star Trek Discovery now, or can you only watch like the last three or something?
On Space?
On Space.
To be honest, I'm not sure. Most of the episodes on Space, you can go back and watch the season for quite a while, but I don't know what their deal is with Star Trek. I never bothered because I just DVR it whenever it airs. Yeah.
Well, that's the other nice thing about it being on Space. You can DVR it. So, yeah. What do you think about the trailer and any thoughts about season two?
Well, first time I saw the trailer, it was meh. No, I'm kidding. First time I saw the trailer, I had goosebumps watching it. It was really good, and it just made me wanted to get here so much faster. But some of my key takeaways from the trailer was, one, I was really happy, at least in the trailer, they showed us that we are going to get to see more of the Discovery bridge crew. We saw several scenes with them. We saw a couple of scenes with what's her name, Detmer, and that other woman. We saw that funny one where, you know, he's in free fall there. But we saw a few scenes with them showing, and I really hope we do get to see more of the bridge crew, because I found in season one that was one of the things we had no investment with the other characters on the bridge, which every other Star Trek series you know, by the end of season one, you knew every single person on the bridge by name. I can't right. name you most of the people on the Discovery Bridge.
Right.
So I was happy with that. Looks like there's going to be a lot of action. Looks like the special effects are going to be really good. So they probably took them from the first three episodes. The one thing I did not like was the final scene of the trailer where they all got in the elevator and that guy sneezed. I mean, it was funny, but it just seemed like, okay, are we looking at Discovery or are we watching the Orville here?
Oh, you mentioned it.
So that was something I kind of went, okay, I didn't need to see that. It just didn't seem to fit within the Discovery universe. So that was my opinion.
Ruthie, I know you haven't seen the trailer, but what do you have any thoughts about season two, what we might see, what we might not?
I'm pretty sure we will see the Enterprise.
I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic because I feel like while they did a lot of things right on Discovery, I feel like there were some things that they did not do or handle correctly. And
yeah,
so I said it last season when the Enterprise showed up. I totally had a wig out moment, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know about this because I don't like it when people rewrite history. It's a bad idea. Don't do it. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, you are just going to set yourself up for failure by doing that because there are a lot of us and we remember.
Yeah. I mean, they do this by covering, you know, doing prequels. They're kind of setting themselves up for failure in a lot of ways, I think.
Well, they're limiting themselves because
right.
there's only so much you can do about what's already been told.
Yeah. And I think that especially when they're changing the past, I mean, I said previously, like, I'm glad in a way that they kind of updated the Enterprise, but at the same time, because I didn't want to see an Enterprise that looked like it was from 1966. You know, I think that would have been stupid. I think it would have been hard for, you know, people that didn't grow up on the original series to accept, especially when you have, you know, the JJ verse, the way that Enterprise looks. I think it has to look different, and I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with it. But when they're changing things to change things, that's when I kind of, take exception. I thought that this version of the Enterprise is tastefully done. I think it is. It looks like it's kind of like a mixture of the old Enterprise and the movie Enterprise in a lot of ways. And, it also kind of has a different color scheme. It's not white, which, again, I'm okay with. Now, one thing, I don't know if it was one of you guys were talking about how they're going to explain. I think it might have been you, Steve, about Burnham, how they never had Burnham explained in Spock's life. I'm wondering if time travel could be involved. Maybe could they, whatever is going on with Spock here, could they go back in time, or could they affect time in such a way that she was never a foster sister of Spock? Like maybe her parents don't get killed or something like that, or I don't know. And then suddenly they kind of erase all of that, and that kind of changes things. I don't know. Anybody have any thoughts about them kind of doing that?
I think Wes does.
All right, Wes.
Okay. There is one line from the like one of the weakest Star Trek movies, The Final Frontier.
What? Spock says the best one?
It's my favorite. It's one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
But
why does God need a starship?
No. They're in the brig. Bones, Spock, and Kirk are in the brig, and he says about Cybok, "I was not disposed to discuss matters of personal nature." discuss Madge. He didn't need to mention, he doesn't need to mention about Michael or Cybok. It's just like a personal thing with Vulcans.
Well, it's certainly a personal thing with Spock. Like, you know, he does have that Cybok thing. He did the same thing with Sarek, for that matter. Mm-hmm. You know, when Sarek first showed up on the original series, yep. You know, Kirk didn't know that Sarek was Spock's father.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah, there is a historical thing for that. Yeah, that's true. All right, Steve?
Okay, I'll set corrected on that. Then that could explain why we don't have Spock there.
Yeah, but the thing that you say, though, it's valid because a lot of people are saying the same thing, and they certainly did say the same thing. I remember when the pilot came out, people were saying the same thing about, like, who's this Michael Burnham? We never heard of her. So, yeah, it's a valid concern, despite what, you know, Spock's tendency not to tell people things.
I was really glad that you mentioned Final Frontier, because I forgot to say when I was originally talking about the trailer, I got a very Final Frontier vibe from the storyline that the trailer presented us with. Yeah. And I don't know if that's why I say I don't know if it's going to cover the entire season or just a few episodes, but I got a very Final Frontier kind of vibe from it, that, oh, hey, we've got to travel to this other place and find something that's getting a signal, almost kind of like even Star Trek the Motion Picture when they were traveling to find V'ger. So,
you know, it's funny you mentioned V'ger. I was just going to say, I watched the trailer a couple of times today in prep for tonight, and there is one scene that they show very quickly. Sorry, Ruthie, I know you haven't seen it, but there is one scene that shows up very quickly, and it almost looks like the one scene with, I think, Kirk, Spock, McCoy going up to V'ger, you know, and Decker and what's her name, Ileana or whatever it was, Aaliyah, but it looked like V'ger almost. So obviously it's not V'ger, but it did look V'ger-ish. Section 31, I think, Steve, you'd wanted to put that in the notes, I think. Was that you?
Yeah. Well, there's that bonus scene. There's a bonus scene that some people have seen if you watch YouTube that I guess is included. So I don't know how canon the scene is, but it shows, you know, Georgiou, the alternate Georgiou, the one that survives, kind of being recruited by Section 31. And somebody needs to help me out. Obviously, I don't know what's a Trill. What is she talking about?
When she says you. Well, a Trill is, I mentioned Dax earlier. A Trill is a joined species. There is a host and a symbiont. So you see the host, but there's like a little, well, like a slug about the size of someone's liver that merges with the host, and the symbiont kind of goes from body to body as the hosts die off. Symbiont's consciousness is the symbiont's taken, and then they move to another host and they merge consciousness with the new host, and they remember have the memories of the previous hosts before them. So
there's that scene where she's on Kronos, I guess. That's where she decided to go after they finished the events of season one. And she kind of gets recruited by this Section 31 guy who's pretending to be a Trill.
Right.
And they show us the black badge again. And that was the one thing from season one that we really never got a payoff for in season one. And so I hope that the season two, we get some sort of payoff with Section 31. Just leave that hanging out there. Feels to me like it's sloppy. And so I hope that we get some sort of payoff on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, interesting, the Section 31, you know, I remember noticing that, you know, in episode 3, you know, these black badges, and I think we even said in the finale, like, what happened to black badges? We didn't see them. And, you know, it turned out that, I guess originally that was going to be part of the last episode, and they took it out. What about, does anybody else have anything they want to say about Section 31? I'm going to kind of, instead of going round robin on this one, I'll just kind of leave it open. Anybody?
I have something to say.
All right, Wes, go ahead.
Well, I think Section 31 has been overused.
Yeah.
I really think it has been overused, especially in Deep Space Nine and, you know, Enterprise and even the JJ movies.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's been overused. And I think the 31, I mean, here's my thinking. I think the 31 storyline is probably not going to be used because I think Gretchen Berg and Aaron Harvitz probably wanted it. And when they got fired, let go, that probably storyline probably went out the window. So.
Oh, you think that it won't be a part of the story at all?
I think maybe just a little, but maybe not as big as they wanted it. Because yeah. when they were still part of the production, they wanted 31 to be a part of the season storyline. And now with them being gone, you know, I think whatever they were planning for Section 31 is probably going to be thrown out the window.
Yeah. I think Mark Deal, did you have something to say?
Yeah. I kind of like Section 31. Wes, I do agree with you. Sometimes it's overused, but the Mirror Universe, DS9 overused the heck out of that. And Discovery essentially built an entire season around it.
Yeah.
And if I think of anybody in the Star Trek universe that could kind of hide the whole spore drive thing, it would be Section 31. So yeah. I would like to see something like that to go come back and fix the whole thing because we can't have spore drives hanging around in Star Trek universe.
Yeah, that is a huge kind of elephant in the room, the spore drives, you know, because we even said, like, why didn't they use the spore drive to get Voyager back? So yeah,
because of the court battle right now. you know about the tardigrade?
Yeah. Actually, I didn't have that in the notes, but do you guys hear about this? Like there's a guy that is suing CBS over use of the tardigrades. There's a game called Tardigrades that I think was kind of like proposed with videos or something on Steam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there, I have to say, you know, originally, and I even said this on your Facebook group, Wes, I was like, I don't think this has a leg to stand on. But after I saw the video, I'm like, that seems kind of similar to me. So.
I'm just going to say one thing about that. I don't think about that lawsuit, I don't think it's going to go very far.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's my only two things because CBS and, you know, about Axanar and stuff like that,
right.
They don't want to go through that again. So, right. So I think, you know, I think what's going to happen is they probably will get a court date and they'll probably award the guy some money and there'll be
a settlement.
Yeah.
And that'll be end of it.
And rightly so, because as Brian said, after seeing it, there definitely should be a settlement because somebody stole from this guy for sure. I mean, there's too much of a coincidence that this video game thing that he had on Steam, there's too many similarities to the story from Star Trek Discovery.
I have to agree. Yeah. Anybody else have any take on that? But I'm glad that we brought that up because I didn't even have that in my notes, but yeah, that's.
I hope they put in the settlement that they can do something to wrap it up and get it out of the Star Trek universe.
Yep.
Because Star Trek does really good when you force them into a corner. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get to the next portion, which I think is, you know, something we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about. Does anybody have anything more that they'd like to say about season two or anything? Mark? Dakota? Yeah.
Just one thing, Brian. I read an article 2 or 3 days ago that was saying that for those fans out there who are looking for them, there is a very, very good probability of season two toys for Discovery.
Oh, that's Well, I have.
Right now you have, a model, but what's happening is
three models.
Those models were not actually toys. Those people, what they're actually doing is whenever somebody places an order, they're actually 3D printing those models per order.
Right.
But I heard that McFarlane Toys has just within the last couple of days come to an agreement, or it looks like they're coming to an agreement. There's a big story behind why there's no toys, and I'm not going to get into that. But it looks like McFarlane Toys has finally come to a settlement where they will be able to put out toys for Discovery.
Yeah. I know that they were going to come up with a phaser, but then they canceled that. I think probably because of shootings or something. I don't know.
Well, that's the story they put out. The official, they said because of it's a firearm, but really it all came down to licensing deal between CBS and Paramount and all that stuff of who was allowed to put out toys. But that's they've been settled for. And now it looks it's not 100%, but it looks like there will be toys for anybody who likes to collect, especially the figurines of the characters.
Yeah. Hi, this is Brian, and this is a little editor's note just to say that we did not cover the short tracks in this roundtable. We will cover them next time. We wanted to move on to the Picard series as well as some of the other potential shows that we may see and at the end get to some feedback. We were already running past an hour at this point. So until then, that's it for now. I just want to leave that little note. Thanks. All right. Well, if there's nothing else to say about season two, we're going to get to probably the biggest news about Star Trek this year. And that has to do, well, we mentioned Alex Kurtzman. He's now in charge of the universe and he's working on a number of shows. And at Star Trek Las Vegas, he came on stage and presented presenting the next show, but then pulled back and said, well, you know, I don't think I'm the best person to talk about it. And up comes Patrick Stewart. So before we get into it, when you heard about this, and, you know, there have been some rumors about Patrick Stewart and Jean-Luc Picard coming back, what'd you think? Like what did you think about this news? And I don't know where did we leave off? Who's the next to go on these points? I don't even remember anymore. Steve Brown, when I know you're not a big Next Gen fan, obviously, you know, that damn oil slick. Why did it have to kill Tasha Yar? Anyway.
I like Patrick Stewart though, Sir Patrick Stewart. It's interesting to me. At the same time, I don't know how I feel about it. It's going to depend on what they do and how they do it. You know, some of the notes that we've had, has there been any kind of announcement at all about what it's going to be about, or are we really just total speculation at this
point? Well, I'm going to play a clip from Star Trek Las Vegas. It's about a minute and 20, and it's a portion of Patrick Stewart talking about the show coming up, and it's like right after he said Jean-Luc Picard is back. So if you haven't heard this, you may want to hear this, but it's worth listening to.
However, I have to tell you, he may not, and I stress, may not be a captain anymore. He may not be the Jean-Luc that you recognize and know so well. It may be a very different individual, someone who has been changed by his experiences. 20 years will have passed, which is more or less exactly the time between the very last movie, Nemesis, and today. We have no scripts as yet. We're just talking storylines. It will be, I promise you, I guarantee it, something very, very different. But it will come to you with the same passion and determination and love of the material and love of our followers and our fans. exactly as we had it before. Thank you.
I'm just going to say that when I heard this announcement, I cried. So, yeah. Ruthie won't be surprised of this because I cry about everything. But, and I watched it over and over again, watched different versions of it. The clip that I just played is actually from YouTube, but it's actually the Star Trek channel that published that one. So that's the official version, but he says a lot of things there. So he says that he may not be a captain. So if he's not a captain, what do you think he will be? Wes, I'm gonna go to you. So there's a whole bunch in there. So what do you think about this new show?
Well, I grew up on TNG, and that was one show that I remember watching when I was a kid. I saw the announcement. I watched the announcement, not recently, but I remember watching it, and I'm going like, this is going to be something that a lot of fans wanted in the first place. A lot of fans had wanted a post Nemesis series. They didn't want another prequel because, you know, everyone got burned from Enterprise, you know, especially with the final episode. These are the Voyages, but, everyone wanted a post Nemesis series. Everyone I talked to wanted a post Nemesis series, and they now are getting it. And I listened to an episode of Trek FM's Earl Grey about this. And I remember Brandon Shea Mutella, he openly wept on that podcast episode. He was crying. He was there. He was there when it happened. And he openly wept. Yeah. And I was listening to it, and I'm going like, I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
I've actually heard him on multiple podcasts weeping about it. So
yeah. I am totally on board with this thing. Will he? I have a strong feeling he won't be a captain. I think he probably will be a retired ambassador, or he could be the commandant of Starfleet Academy. He was actually offered that in an episode of The Next Generation.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So he could very well be the commandant of Starfleet Academy and teach. I would totally watch that, Professor Picard. I could watch that.
Yeah, and like that's a Starfleet Academy series is one of the series that's supposedly in development. So I mean, it's possible it could be the same series. We don't know.
It could be.
Yeah, Mark Decote, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I was very excited. I loved Picard. I loved the Next Generation, but what he's going to be, and he's very specific in saying that I'm not going to be a captain. And like first thought is, okay, what were you promoted or what? Maybe he's retired and he's not considered captain anymore or whatever. And this is not my speculating. It's some of the stuff that I've read and stuff. And if anybody knows, there's a lot of bickering going on between CBS and Paramount, who CBS owns the TV rights, Paramount owns the movie rights and all that. Right. But CBS is actually, they're trying to discard the Prime universe, the get rid of the old stuff and trying to build. They want to be able to build on the new stuff right now. So speculation, and I don't want to see this, but some of the speculation I'm seeing is that it's possible that we might see a Picard from either a Kelvin-like universe or a combination of the two, where he may have never been captain of the Enterprise. It might be
interesting
because he says, you know, this is going to be a Picard that we, you know, completely unlike anything you've seen. So what if we're seeing an alternate where what happens if Picard never joined Starfleet and, you know, what became of his life, or if he never became captain of the Enterprise or something like that?
Yeah.
So it could be very different in that way. So I don't know that, again, this is just, I've been looking at a lot of videos, reading a lot of articles, and this is just speculation because of what CBS and Paramount and all the deals and everything that's going on there and what yeah. they're trying to do and what their future vision of this whole Star Trek universe is. So I don't know. It's a thought.
That's a good thought, though. I could definitely see them doing something like that. It would probably fry some people's brains, just not being able to, like, oh my God, what are they doing? But I think it would be an interesting premise. And it sounds like you've done kind of what I've done listening to that, parsing his words there. Like he says, this will not be the Picard that you know and love. So what does that mean? Does that mean that it's a Picard that has just gone through a whole bunch of crap since, we last saw him in Nemesis? Or did that Picard in Nemesis not exist and we're going to see like an alternate version of it? So good points all the way around, Mark. Ruthie, what do you think about this? I said we're definitely going to podcast about it. I don't know what I got to do to make that happen, but it's going to happen. And I'm assuming you're going to be right there with me. So
yeah, elbowing other people out of the way.
Yeah, that's great.
I am super excited. I have had a little girl crush on Patrick Stewart since I was a little girl. So
yeah,
I'm excited. I love him. I would watch him do anything. I would watch him on a TV show reading the phone book. I don't care. But I mean, I'm super excited and I have no idea what he's going to be doing. I would hope after 20 years that he's not still a captain. I think it would be cool to see if he's moved on to be an ambassador or something. I think being the commandant of Starfleet Academy would be super awesome as well. I have no idea, but I'm excited to see it. I'm not really sure that I want to erase his history, though. Yeah. So I kind of hope that doesn't happen because I'm familiar with his history and I like it.
Yeah.
But I mean, they could do something along the lines of the final episode that aired from The Next Generation. He's running a winery.
I wonder if he's going to get, in that episode, he got pneumatic syndrome. I wonder if they're going to touch on that. I have to think that they will. Whether or not he gets it, maybe the fact that that happened, maybe they're able to discover it and deal with it before it's actually a thing. I don't know. But, Mark Decote, you're waving your hand.
Just one thing. It's been brought up a couple of times. People said that it would be neat to see him as commandant of Starfleet Academy if they do go ahead with that. But you got to remember, in Star Trek history, Picard has had been very uncomfortable around kids and that. So I don't know if they'd want to put him as commandant of Starfleet Academy where he'd be dealing with kids on a regular basis, because you know that he doesn't like kids or he doesn't feel comfortable around them, doesn't know how to handle them.
At the beginning of the series, though.
That's before Robin Colbert died in the fire.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's become more comfortable with them. So maybe he branches out. I don't know. But yeah, I know what you're saying. At the beginning of the Next Generation, he was like, anytime he was around kids, he was like,
Yeah. Yeah, disaster. Remember that? The executive officer in charge of radishes.
Oh, yeah. Disaster.
Yes. Anybody else West got any speculation? Steve Brown?
I had a joke and then I've got a speculation. And the joke is, if they put him as commandant of Starfleet Academy, they got to put him in a wheelchair. But I would
Starfleet School of the Gifted.
I would love to see a, I think you, Brian, you kind of touched on it, a PTSD kind of driven mad kind of Picard. And
we're mean this kind of Picard?
No! Yeah, yeah. Some kind of from all of his experiences and everything, and he's in like a Shutter Island kind of facility, and so then they're trying to work through his addled brain or something like that. That would be an interesting series, I think. But yeah, that's all I had.
Yeah, Mark Deal.
I would love to see Indiana Jones in space. Right. Picard's no longer a captain. He's retired. He loves this whole space archaeology thing. So going out there with his phaser whip and you know, grabbing the golden skull, whatever. I mean, that would be hilarious. That would be hilarious for like one episode. And we would all get tired. We would laugh and we would get tired of it. No, I mean, obviously they're tossing some serious money at it in order to get Patrick Stewart to say no, 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 no. How much? Yes.
Yeah, you know, somehow I don't think it's going to be like the sequel to Find the Tox Utat or something like that, you know?
Right, right.
Or the Picard and Vosh show. I haven't even seen Jennifer Hetrick in anything in many years. So
yeah, I don't think they're going to phone it in. I don't think they're going to rush it. We already know, as Patrick Stewart said himself, they're talking stories, right? He likes to say things twice. So, you know, it's going to be very, very different. This is going to be after season two of Discovery, and this could be the life raft that Discovery needs. I think they're going to put a lot of money. Obviously, they put a lot of money into Patrick Stewart. I think they're going to put a lot of money into writing. Maybe they'll use it to save some of the concepts of Discovery, but honestly, I don't think that they have to. Look, right or wrong, people like Discovery or don't. Maybe they don't like certain elements. Maybe they love certain elements. Honestly, myself, the first run through, I wasn't a fan. And watching it a second time, I've kind of gotten over it. But when they announced Patrick Stewart, everyone stood up and clapped. And Brian, you mentioned you cried. So
I did.
I think it's going to be a great episode. I think I'm going to put some great writing behind it. You know, whether it's going to be serialized or episodic, I'm not really sure. You know, Star Trek has always been really great about framing what is happening today in a sci-fi wrapper, right? If you remember Star Trek Enterprise, that was like post 9/11. So the Zindi came and, you know, killed a bunch of people on Earth and, oh, we're going to go attack him. It was very dark. Star Trek, the original series, was all kind of hippies and free love and sexist remarks, because that's what people were all about in the 60s. So what does this mean in the climate political era, the post before you think, comment before, you know, share before you read a headline? You know, what's that going to mean for a really well-written Star Trek show that is not Discovery, but has Patrick Stewart, a guy that can act, a guy that can deliver lines, a guy that can make you believe? Yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. And that's with me not even knowing what it's about, because no one knows what it's about.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about this, but various things that he could be if he's not a captain. I'll mention them. He could be a professor, or a commandant, like Steve said. He could be an ambassador. He could be an admiral. Something I have said based on some of the things that he said earlier before he said Jean-Luc Picard is back. He talked about the current political climate and how we kind of need a show like Next Gen. Okay, so I'll throw it out there. What if Picard was the president of the Federation? Now, that could be interesting. A Star Trek West Wing? Steve, I'll ask you first. If you had to guess, what kind of show will this be?
I think, like I said, I would love to see him in anything. I think just to see what it would look like. I would not want to see a real politicalized type of show. But if that's what they wanted to do, we could, you know, work with it. And I want to see. I always like Star Trek as an ensemble based show. It seems like not a one person show. So I hope, even though this is Picard and it's going to be about Picard, that they don't make it a one, that they somehow find an ensemble to put together for it, whether it's, whether he's, you know, Admiral Picard, commanding, you know, several vessels at once or whatever. But I hope it remains as an ensemble show, not just a it's going to be about him.
Well, I don't care one way or the other what it is. I just want to see more Trek on TV.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Mark. I would want more Picard and Wesley on a shuttlecraft. Oh my gosh. But but no, but I think that could be a very interesting show. A Picard kind of a Star Trek kind of West Wing kind of show. But I think since he is now a U.S. citizen,
right,
and he is now can vote in, you know, in the U.S. elections, he probably has some issues regarding the current U.S. administration. Let's just say that he probably wanted to do a show like this. So, but to say what he wanted to say, he probably wouldn't have done it if he hadn't had some kind of creative control.
Too. Yeah, I have to think that as well, that if he's going to put his seal of approval on this, it's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have anything to say about what he could be?
I he could take over the parking on what is that deck on TNG where they all went. It was, yeah, yeah, 10 forward. You take over the bartender role on Enterprise.
Well, that brings me to my next question. Two things I'm going to say, but who do you think we're going to see from Next Gen? Are we going to see anybody come from Deep Space Nine or Voyager, for that matter? Who do you think could show up in this series, either as in a permanent, you know, like a main role, a recurring role, or just guest? Anybody have any thoughts about that, Wes?
I'm going to say I would probably think we would probably get Riker and Troy in the series. I think we could definitely get Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes to at least have a guest spot in the series because Jonathan Frakes has directed episodes of Discovery already. He's right. Directing two for season two.
Right.
So he already has been up there with Toronto and stuff. That knows the people behind the production of Discovery.
Yeah.
And Marina Sirtis has actually been up in Toronto too, visiting him. So
we don't know yet if it's going to be in Toronto, shot in Toronto or not, yeah, but no, you could think that it probably will be.
Yeah, he probably would be. But I think from any of the other series, I probably wouldn't count on Janeway because Kate Mulgrew is already busy with Orange is the New Black.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't think that she would be a guest shot. Maybe that she could probably do that. She could probably do a guest shot, but I don't think she could be like a recurring character, Janeway. But
totally guest. I hope we see everybody at least guest.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there, Ruthie. I totally agree.
I'd like to see them pull off Brent Spiner.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
him. No Brent Spiner. I'm sorry, but androids don't age. And
okay, there's one thing about Brent Spiner I would want, and that would be his voice.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know, Brent Spiner, he killed off Data and Nemesis because he thought he was too old for the role, and yet he did a cameo as Data in the final episode of Enterprise as his voice. So I think, you know, you could have Data in the Picard series, just like as voiceover only.
Voice of the computer?
Well, I know someone that would agree.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would totally, I wouldn't mind seeing Data, not seeing Data, but his voice, yeah, it could probably happen. But definitely Riker and Troy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see Riker and Troy. And for that matter, I think they would be the most logical to put in there. I mean, Worf as well.
Crusher?
Oh, yeah. Crusher. Oh, God, yes. Crusher. I totally agree with that. Well, yeah, do you think they're married?
Oh, yes. I think they are.
Married or recently divorced, but still friends. It's complicated. I'm sure it would it would certainly be complicated.
It's complicated.
Friends with benefits.
Well, at the end of the Next Generation, she was you know captain of that medical ship, and they were kind of like.
Yeah, if they were married and they were no longer married, but she kept his last name. So I don't know what that means right there. That's kind of crazy. You know, I would love to see.
Still came when he called.
You know,
like, okay, here I am.
But just kind of piggybacking off what everyone else is saying, I think there's a lot of potential for people to drop in and guess, but not to be reoccurring. I think Picard is the reoccurring character, and other people can kind of come in and come out. Not like a Mr. Rogers situation, but I think it could be interesting. I would love to see LeVar Burton come on. Not only does he got a great podcast, and I love it when podcasters are back on TV. But, you know, he's a great guy, and he's still acting on TV, but I don't think he's too busy to drop in on Picard. So I would love to see that.
The same thing, like Jerry Ryan has done guest spots and recurring roles on several different shows now. So she could probably would be available as well.
I could do without her, but.
have you heard the story about supposedly she was going to be in Star Trek Nemesis? And I think it was going to be either her or Janeway. Mm-hmm. I think Marina Sirtis had thought that it might have been instead of Troy, but that doesn't make sense to me. But certainly she could have been in the role that, you know, when Admiral Janeway showed up, you know, maybe they somehow contacted Seven of Nine, but why they would do that, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the new Picard show is going to be about Starfleet.
Okay.
That's my prediction. It's not going to be about Starfleet. I think it's going to be about the Federation, about the galaxy, about different species. I don't think it's going to be a show about Starfleet. I think we're finally going to get the show that isn't about the military.
Huh. It's a possibility. Anybody else have any thoughts about it?
Well, there's one thing that as Noah has mentioned is it going to be like, I have a feeling it's not going to be like a season by season series. I think it's just going to be a mini series.
I agree.
Yeah. And that takes me to the final question that I was going to pose. Is Patrick Stewart too old to be a, like full time?
No,
that's my answer as well.
I'm with you there.
I mean, he's what, 78?
Yes,
he's certainly in good shape. You know, and I like whether he could go 7 years, I don't know, but certainly, you know, two or three seasons, I could see, you know, he's not going to be doing 26 episodes a season like they used to, you know, probably be,
no,
you know, 13 or, you know, even 10 or, you know, or it could be a limited release, like 8 or even 6 episode season. I don't know, but.
This is Star Trek, Brian. You know, lifespans have been expanded, so 78 is no big deal.
Well, yeah, but that's Picard. But you know, Patrick Stewart. I mean, we just had he's a few years older, but Burt Reynolds just passed away. He was 82, I think. So you know, he is getting up there, but he seems to be in good shape.
He's really spry.
He seems to be, you know, and of course, I still haven't seen Logan, but, you know, I've heard nothing but good things that he was great in that as a kind of a retired, you know, Professor X, I guess.
Losing his mind, Professor X.
I mean, and there's some parallels there, you know. So there's all sorts of things that it could be. Do you guys have any thoughts about, we're kind of getting into a free-for-all section, And we're gonna cover the feedback too, but just as far as the other proposed shows or other shows that they could do in this universe, do you guys have any thoughts about what you'd like to see, what you think we won't see? Like, if you have any thoughts, just raise your hand. Mark, Dakota?
Well, I know that they've got an animated series in the works, and I just hope it's at least as good as the old animated series.
I would hope so. I mean, I would tend to think it would be something sort of like, you know, the Star Wars animated series. It would have to be, I think, on par with that. Steve Brown, you raised your hand as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and people may throw stones at me for this. I don't want to see another Enterprise series. Let's follow a different ship if we want. I don't think we need to see another Enterprise crew, whether it's a futuristic crew, you know, or they go prequel again. I think the Enterprise, we've got that. We've had that show. Yeah. Let's have something different. That's why Discovery is working. So, you know, find, you know, maybe we're going to follow another exploratory vessel or something. I don't want to see another Enterprise series.
So is anything as long as it's not called the Enterprise. So if it was called the Endeavor or Odyssey, there's supposedly two names that they've trademarked. One is called Star Trek Destiny, and one is, which I know that there are a number of Destiny novels that kind of like are actually after Nemesis. So, you know, potentially it could be that. There's also Star Trek Reliant. And that, of course, Reliant was the ship that Khan took over. Could one of the series, I know there's been some speculation and some talk about Nicholas Meyer doing a Khan limited series. You know, any thoughts about that? Or, you know, we talked a little bit about a Star Trek Academy series. Do you want to see them do some other prequel? Do you want to see a sequel? Do you want to see something brand new? Do you want to see them go far into the future? Do you want to see them cover like the Klingons or the Romulans or the Borg? I don't know. Mark Deal?
Actually, Brian, that last thing is what I'd like to see. I'd like them to take a species that isn't human and then dive into that and learn how their society works, what problems they have, and how they evolve. Maybe take the Vulcans back before Idyk, back before they cast out emotions, when they were essentially dropping atomic bombs on themselves and in their own war and about destroy themselves, and how they got over that. I'd love to see something like that. I'd like to see Star Trek get back at its roots and say, we're going to use this as a vehicle, as a mechanism to highlight problems that we have here, but we're not going to be bonk bonk on the head about it. We're going to show you this alien species, and it'll be a fun little story. Just watch it, you know, put your shields down and enjoy the show. And then three episodes in, you're like, oh my goodness, maybe I need to think before I do this, because the Vulcans had that problem 50,000 years ago or something like that. So yeah, Brian, yeah. The last thing, go into a species. And I agree. I think it was Mark that said this. I don't want to see another Enterprise. Honestly, I don't even want to see any more military Star Treks. I know it's stars and trekking through the stars, but the, you know, 52 years worth of content and history and 700 plus episodes, movies, properties. Let's dive somewhere where essentially the sand hasn't been sifted. I'd love to see Vulcans. I know I keep saying Vulcans and sand, and I'm trying to drop lots of hints. Hopefully if the showrunners are listening to this and like, hey, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Well, I like the idea of like a prequel, but like, you know, hundreds of years in the past, seeing the Vulcans kind of like go through their violent, you know, period. That would be really interesting.
And that was like thousands of years. That's back before our Industrial Revolution.
It is thousands of years. Like, how did the Romulans like separate from the Vulcans? And there's a lot of potential there. It would be, I don't know, is there any other series that's done where it has been from a completely alien perspective? That
Battlestar Galactica.
When they did the
Battlestar Galactica, then they did the reboot, and then they came out with Caprica, which was kind of like the story of the evolution of the Cylons. I'm sure there's other examples out there, but yeah, we're both trying to come up with a Star Trek example that maybe we get to see on TV, even if it's just a season. I mean, that's the great thing about this new CBS All Access membership model, and of course, Mark Decote's up in Canada getting everything for free.
That's worth saying too. We don't know if this next series is going to be offered in the same way. Isn't CBS going to open up in Canada, Mark?
I haven't heard anything about that.
I have heard that
you
CBS.
You don't know everything that's going on in Canada?
You're my lifeline, man. I haven't been there in so long. Supposedly there's no guarantee that these will be distributed in the same way. We all know that, you know, for those of us that live in the US, we know they're going to be on CBS All Access. That's a given. And to that, I have to say to people that have not drunk are still, you know, how dare you with your $5.99 a month? Get over it.
I think my problem with that is that I feel like they're using Star Trek fans. That's my only issue with it.
Using it?
Okay. Well, they're using the fan base because they know how rabid we are. And that's I kind of feel like they're taking advantage of that. That's my only issue with it, really. So I just kind of feel like they're.
The thing is, though, I think they are kind of early in this new kind of what's the word I'm looking for? There's going to be a pattern of this, like Disney is going to be. Launching this new network. There's a DC network that's going to have DC shows on there. I think that any of these franchises, they're going to have these kind of like pay streaming channels now. And CBS All Access just kind of took it on the chin from people that are used to getting the series in a different way. Cause I think, 5 years from now, Star Trek being offered this way, that's going to just be one of many of franchises that are going to be on a streaming network. And some of them will be on Netflix, and, quite honestly, I would love it if everything was on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever, but I think it's going to go to this, where you'll buy your, your CBS All Access, you watch, it when it's in season, and when it's off season, you'll disconnect it. I do the same thing with Hulu as well. I'll subscribe and then I'll unsubscribe. So, and for that matter, HBO Now, I have it on when Game of Thrones is on and I turn it off the rest of the time. So, I that's my take on it. Anybody else have anything, any thoughts about what we could see or other series?
I would just love to see, maybe the story, like follow a ship that is not part of Starfleet. Let's see somebody that has to fend for themselves, that, if their ship gets damaged, they have to pay for it themselves. They have to find their own resources.
Like a freighter?
And living in the Star Trek universe, but they're not supported by the Federation.
Firefly. Well, wouldn't that be Yeah, starring Nathan Fillion.
I just don't want to see them go.
He needs the job.
I just don't want to see them go into the past again. Like, no more prequels. The last two television shows that have been produced and put on have been in the past. I don't want that again. I want to go into the future.
I agree. Because
the future is unlimited and vast and unknown. The past has been written.
For that matter, you know, the JJ verse, you know, that's all dealing with the past as well. So, yeah. All right. Any other thoughts, Wes?
There's two things I want to say. First of all, I wouldn't mind seeing. I remember watching this YouTube video from E.C. Henry is his name, and he was talking about a medical drama. I'm a huge medical drama fan. I love ER, so I think a show like that, set in the Star Trek universe, would do very well. Granted, it would probably give a fresh take about, you know, medical issues, that kind of thing, medical ethical issues that Star Trek has been known for. You know, that could be a very interesting series. But there's another thing I want to say. I hope to make a Star Trek that's not for me. I'm serious. I hope there's a Star Trek that's not for me. See, I think the Academy series that they kind of want to develop, hopefully, I think they were thinking about putting on the CW. That would be a show that I probably would not watch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, why do you want to see that?
Well, like the show that I wouldn't want to see?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, you know, I love Discovery, but maybe if they go do a different direction with a different show, maybe it wouldn't be for me. Like the Academy series, for example, that could be geared towards young adult, like teenagers and young adults.
You're talking about broadening the fan base, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured you were alluding to.
Yes, I am. Like, I think the problem with Star Trek, that's one thing that's been a major issue, is they're trying to appeal to a broader audience. Like Discovery is, you know, for people who are not necessarily familiar with Star Trek, but they are aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so with the Kelvin timeline movies, that was made for that reason. So, but there would be, I think broadening the franchise, the fan base would be ideal.
So maybe Quark could do like an antiques roadshow or something like that.
I wouldn't watch it, but yeah. That'd be something for the old people. There you go.
There you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have a couple of pieces of feedback that we didn't get to cover yet. So first is a voicemail from Cyberman.
Oh, hey, Brian and Ruthie. This is for Star Trek Discovery. This is Cyberman. I'm not sure about the finale. There were some fun elements. The Enterprise was great. It'd be fun to see who they've got in that crew. It will be interesting if they cast another person for Spock. To me, it should be Zachary Quinto, but, you know, hey, I'm not sure how they're going to pull that off. But also, I don't know why the Klingons stopped fighting. The detonator being biologically tied to Laurel is well and good, but can't you just cut off her hand and kill her and have her hand around for the DNA? I'm not quite sure why that would work. I mean, that's what I would do if I were the Klingons. I would kill her, take the detonator, and destroy the Federation because they were winning. So I don't quite understand. Does the Federation have their own detonator? I don't understand how that worked. It was very Starfleet, but I still don't understand. Also, I really think Saru should be captain. Hashtag Saru is captain. So I have no idea who the captain's going to be. So that was a real mystery to me as to why Saru wasn't promoted. Anyway, I hope you can clear things up for me. I watched it twice. I'm going to watch it again, but I don't quite understand why the whole Klingon, why would they stop fighting the war? I wouldn't have. That was not a good enough reason for me. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you, Cyberman. Well, I know some of that, you probably know the answer to already, that we know that it's Captain Pike that is going to be taking over the ship. And, you know, it makes it sound like that's only going to be for this season, right? So assuming it gets to season three, there'll be another captain, maybe Saru, maybe somebody else, maybe Burnham, for that matter.
Who knows?
She was unclear about why the Klingons stopped fighting. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I don't. I mean, I feel like Laurel kind of, I don't know. She was, I guess she was pretty persuasive about, I the think
dead,
her.
Yeah, the detonator will do that.
Yeah, I have a thermal detonator. I think her thing was more about, you know, we're never going to. I think she maybe was more, I don't know, she was just really persuasive, I guess. The way that she spoke in a language they could understand, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Cyberman, thank you for giving us that voicemail. Sorry we didn't play it on the last roundtable, but hopefully if you have, I'll say, if you have any thoughts about season two or anything that we talked about in this roundtable, please let us know. Send us another voicemail. We'll play it the next episode we do, which will hopefully not be, you won't have to wait 5 months for.
Well, the show's coming back soon, right? So
right. All right, so our last bit of feedback is an email from Fred from the Netherlands, who has been such a good supporter of this podcast. And we're really sorry we didn't do your feedback last time as well, but I definitely wanted to cover it this time. So he says, some final thoughts on Star Trek Discovery Season 1. One of the things I find important is that the end of a season of a series, of which it's not 100% certain there will be a next season, it could be a satisfactory ending of that particular show. Answer on this question for Star Trek Discovery is yes. I think that all the major storylines have a satisfactory closure. Opening a new storyline to which we as audience are not committed yet is not much of a problem. So in the case of Discovery, the encounter with Captain Pike and the Enterprise falls into that category. If this was the ending of the series as a whole, it just could be the connection to the TOS timeline. I think they left themselves with a nice set of possibilities. The writers can go a lot of ways, especially if you look at the main characters. Then he has some predictions. Prime Lorca could still be alive, and even Mirror Lorca, because he fell into that mycelium knot. We surely will see Giorgio back. Of course, there is the big hype about some extra episode 15 footage from WonderCon about Section 31. Yes, yes. Will we see Laurel unifying the 24 Klingon houses, or will the Discovery just go on a journey, boldly going where no one has gone before? I don't think so, because that would deprive us from Laurel and Tyler for a whole season. Who will not be around anymore are Tyler and Vok as separate individuals. I think they will stay united, perhaps a bit like a good old Trill with its symbiote. And then he says, did I like the series? No. Do I like the series? Yes. As soon as I left the good old Star Trek franchise behind me, it all became a lot more enjoyable. I liked that the captain is not the main character for once. I liked the little bit older female badass main character, Cornwell. Of course, we had other somewhat older, strong women in Star Trek before, such as Guinan, Loxana Troi, Kai Opaka, and Kai Winn. Not all equally likable, but whatever. I'm only looking forward to the next season, which I hope is a little less dark in tone. Fortunately, we also had the Orville for compensation of Star Trek's darkness. I hope Star Trek will go out of darkness next season instead of into darkness.
Hmm.
And I will have to say,
Mwahaha.
Last but not least, I hope the cinematography and especially the lighting of next season will be as beautiful as this season. Greetings, Fred from the Netherlands. Well, as always, Fred, thank you so much for that bit of feedback. Well written. It seems like he's going to get a less dark Star Trek Discovery from what we're hearing. So, I mean, that's good. What did you have any thoughts about any of his feedback?
Not specifically. I think he had a lot of good ideas and a lot of good things to say, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that, you know, his point about the I think that Laurel, we're going to see Laurel and Tyler. I don't know how they fit in. It's the same goes for Section 31, although I'm not sure who was it, Mark? One of the Marks that said that said maybe Section 31 would be able to explain the disappearance of the spore drive. You know, that might explain that. So, but I'm not really sure how the Klingons will fit into this season based on the trailer. But it seems like we're going to see them somehow. So I don't think we're going to see Lorca. We might see Lorca at some point, and I'm thinking like Morgan in The Walking Dead, you know, he'll just, you know, pop up once in a while. Yeah. But I don't think we're going to see him this season. Cause they'd really have to twist and turn the story, to put either Lorca, I think, into this story. So that's just my thought. All right. Well, that's it for feedback. Guys, it's been a lot of fun, but we're going to wind it down now. So to submit your feedback, connect with us. There are many different ways, but you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. Use the SpeakPipe widget that you see there. You can call 304-837-2278. You can send us email. Send it to StarTrekGSM@gmail.com. But most people send their feedback in our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. When the series comes back, we will post a designated episode thread, and you will put your feedback there. You can also reach us on Twitter at StarTrekGSM. And we should mention that Ruthie and I are very happy to be the exclusive TV Time podcast for Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes me feel good every time I go on the TV Time app and I see us there. So yeah. So if you have TV Time, you can definitely see us there. Mark, are you also in there for Killjoys?
No, I'm actually in there for the Expanse podcast.
Ah.
My Tales of the Rocinante.
Yeah. Oh, you must be really happy about the fact that Amazon is going to pick them up.
I'm happy that we're going to get more of the Expanse. I'm torn because Amazon tends to drop an entire season all at once, and that ruins my podcast the way I've been podcasting about it.
Yeah. Well, I know like, Daryl and Steve and I know Rima and Sean. They do podcast. Well, and actually, you guys, your Panels of Pixels, you cover shows that get dropped, and you just simply do them whenever.
Yeah. It's just I have a certain format to all my Solo Talk Media shows. There's a certain format to them, and my format doesn't play well with if the entire season drops.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, you're right. You can't really do the double take.
My double take questions and the theories and all that. Yeah. So it's hard to do. But yeah, I'll figure something out.
I'm sure you will. I mean, and definitely if you're interested in any of the shows that Mark covers, you should maybe we'll get into that right now before we continue. But what shows? I know Killjoy's is going on, but you also have other podcasts.
Well, the only two live shows I have are Killjoy's, which is going on right now, and The Expanse, that right now the show's on hiatus until season four comes.
Right.
My other podcasts, which were Orphan Black, that's now retired. And of course, Under the Dome, that I don't talk about anymore. So for various reasons.
Yeah. Orphan Black is an amazing show, and I miss it. I definitely miss it. I know that she's got another Emmy nomination coming.
Yes.
Yeah. So she won. When was that? Season three that she won the Emmy? I don't know. But yeah. Steve, why don't you talk about Panelist Pixels a little bit?
Right now, we're currently doing Luke Cage season one, but the entire review of Punisher season one has dropped and is available on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level podcast network. We're also on Facebook at Panels to Pixels. So find us there. There's another one that's called similar to us, but Panels to Pixels is the one that we're doing. So,
yeah. And Wes, you are a madman. You do two podcasts a week.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so tell the listeners what all about your podcast.
Well, it's called the Minnesota Star Trek Nerd. Pretty much, I talk about anything regarding Star Trek. It's been influenced by a couple of podcasts that I listen to. The TND podcast from Trek FM called Earl Grey. And then Mission Log, a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast. Those are the two major influences. I do it twice a week. I do it Mondays and Fridays. I talk about anything regarding Star Trek. So you can find the podcast on Twitter. It's at MNST Nerd Pod, or you can find it on Facebook, facebook.com/MN Star Trek Nerd Pod. So,
and it's also worth saying, you're the admin. And I didn't even realize, I thought you had originated it, but I guess no. You're just like the head admin, I think, of, your Facebook group. So talk about that, because it's a big one, actually.
Yes. So I would say yes. I would say I'm the head admin of the group. It's called Positive Fans of Star Trek Discovery. The podcast page is actually linked to it. So if you you have to answer a few questions before you get in, obviously. Yeah. So you can weed out the trolls. But yeah. Yeah, so it's facebook.com/groups/discoveryfans. I wasn't the creator of the group. A good friend of mine named Brendan Coles created that group, and he is still in the group. He's just not as active in the group. I'm a group of 8 admins and 2 moderators, so from all over the country, and 1 in Canada, actually.
Yeah.
There you go, Mark. I have a Canadian in my admin team. So I'm pretty active in that group as well.
Yeah. And Mark, we already talked about your legal podcasts. Any link you want to give for that?
Not really. I do several legal shows, typically branded shows for large law firms. So if you want to find me or listen to one of the podcasts I'm on, just search my name, Mark Deal, in your favorite podcast player of choice. I'm actually on a lot of podcasts as a guest. A lot of times not about Star Trek, you know, like business, marketing, you know, what it happens to be. This just happens to be a fun thing. Get to talk Star Trek with, you know, 5 other people that seem to share the same passion. So if you want to hear some of the other shows that I've been on or whatever, is it's hard to know when this particular episode's drop. And I do 2 other, or at least 2 interviews a week, as well as my other shows, my own shows. So whenever this drops, just search my name if you want to hear something. If you're in and around the Atlanta area, I run Podcast Atlanta. If you're into podcasting, come out and check us out. We'll be at the Atlanta Tech Park in October 19th. I'll be talking about comedy and podcasting. And if you want to get into podcasting and checking out some of the various Facebook groups, I run 4 of some of the best. So yeah, check me out there.
Okay, cool.
Brian, and, Sorry, Brian, just a quick thing. Mark DeCote here. I don't think I mentioned, but any of my podcasts for Killjoys or The Expanse or Orphan Black can all be found at solotalkmedia.com. I never actually gave the link for it. So
yeah, thank you.
And while I'm at it, since Mark was pimping some legal podcasts, if any of your listeners happen to be a graphic designer, I also do a weekly show called Resourceful Designer at resourcefuldesigner.com specifically for graphic designers.
So you say pimping. I didn't mention any of the legal show names. If you wanted to rattle them off, I could. But
that's what you do, right, Mark? That's your...
Yeah, I'm actually... Yeah. I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, I am a graphic designer.
Yeah. I fake it.
Yeah. And a very talented one, I would say. So...
I have one thing to say.
Okay.
You can find my podcast on applications like Stitcher, and it's on Apple Podcasts. So, but you can find the podcast. It's from anchor.fm.
Oh, yeah.
So it's on there. So you can listen to any of the episodes there as well.
Yeah. And supposedly, hopefully this episode, I don't know, but we are going to be on Spotify. We haven't been on Spotify yet, so...
I'm on Spotify, so...
Yeah, we had some changes going on at the network here, and hopefully this episode will be on Spotify. So we'll post about that on the Facebook group. I already gave the link, but that's facebook.com/group/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. If you want to... support us. One of the best ways is to subscribe to us in the podcast client of your choice. If you use something like Apple Podcasts that allows you to give a rating or review, we would appreciate if you could give us a positive 5-star rating and or review. We've been doing really well with our reviews on this show, and hopefully we will have some episodes coming out soon now that I'm finally kind of settled here in Tampa. But you can find the other shows in the network by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. So I think that's it. We've already said our everything about where you guys can be heard. So peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.